Welcome to How To In Bed, the ultimate guide to unlocking your full sexual potential. Join me, Lara, an erotic co-writer and the creator of the sexual wellness platform Tales of Lara, as I spin new tales of sexual exploration with leading experts. Together, we'll unravel the mysteries of cultivating deep, intimate connections with insights like unlocking the secrets of lasting love and channeling your inner dominatrix. Let's dive into How To In Bed with Lara, where pleasure has no boundaries. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Pussy Church in our new series, How To In Bed. Today, I'm here with the incredible Marie Sauvage, a shibari artist and instructor, for our episode, How To Tie Them Up. Thank you so much for coming on the show again.
Hi, Lara. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to chat with you again.
Likewise.
I thought of you immediately when we were thinking about doing the show, like a how-to series. And I was wondering if you'd want to start with a little bit about what shibari is to you.
I see shibari as a practice of mindfulness and an erotic connection with another person. And the medium is rope. For me, it's very versatile, and that's why I'm so attracted to it. Rope can be artistic and just purely done as art. And what I mean by that is like photography or performance art, or it could be something just purely meditative. But it's also very sexy. I mean,
yes,
it's a fetish. So it could be also a very sexual experience. And I think that's what's so great about it, is that you can interpret it or experience it in any way that you feel, or depending on the dynamic with the partner you're playing with.
I love that you mentioned the mindfulness aspect of it. When we worked together and you tied me up in Paris, I've had that feeling of being so present in that moment. How did you find out that it has this like potential of being mindful?
I first discovered shibari when I started experimenting with BDSM in New York City. And I wasn't very attracted by what I saw in New York City, because it was performed in a more DS relationship way. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, this is totally okay too. I just wasn't attracted to that. But then when I went to Japan and I discovered shibari in Japan, where it originated, and I had seen the approach of some of these Japanese masters who are influenced by Zen Buddhism and the mindfulness that is practiced in so many different aspects of Japanese life, including a practice of rope. I noticed in Japanese shibari, it's about the entire process. It's about the eye contact you make. It's about the engaging of all the senses. It's about creating like a whole story and scenario or fantasy for your partner to be guided through by you. And that is making it very meditative and heightening the sensuality between you and the other person.
I'm so interested about the Japanese approach to it. Did you learn a little bit about the history there of shibari?
I learned a little bit about the history. It comes from the feudalist era. It was a way that samurais would capture their prisoners and torment them.
I read that. I thought it was so crazy that I was connected.
Yeah. If you're thinking about all the different implements used in BDSM, they all come from some form of like capital punishment.
Yeah, fair enough.
Around the
yeah.
world, like you have the whip, and like in England, like the six, I think it's canes. So being caned six times is like some sort of like official punishment in England. You have the handcuffs, which is very American, I think. I think maybe it's like, it's a way of reclaiming something that could be traumatic and out of control. Like when you play in a sexual space, like you can role play something that would make you feel really out of control, or really like something very negative into something positive.
Reclaiming is a nice way to put it, even if you say reclaiming a word that was used derogatorily, right? Like slut, for example, or bitch or whatever, and then using it to empower yourself.
Yeah.
What is it that actually turns people on, or what arouses people sexually when they practice Shibari? Like, what's the intention?
There's many ways to be sexually aroused by practicing rope. So some people really love to dominate, or some people really love to submit, and they find that erotic, or simply the sensation of the rope against the skin, because rope is extremely sensual. So it's a wonderful way to play with touch.
Yeah.
Or some people like shame. And with bondage, you can be put in these very exposing, vulnerable positions, like your legs spread wide open.
Yeah.
But some people really like to be out of control of that shame and confronted with those emotions, because they're allowed to be free in that space of giving their bodies to someone else.
That's an interesting aspect, because I was reading about that with a lot of sexual fantasies, being powerless and stuff, that it can be attractive that somebody is taking you and doing it to you. So therefore, you feel less responsible for that sexuality aspect of it, I guess. You actually are the rigger, though, right? In your work, you're the one who ties.
Yes.
What's the pleasure that you find in that role?
Control.
Ah, nice.
Role is nice. There's a lot of power in being a rigger. Yeah.
You sound like you're getting turned on already.
I won't even say that was a yeah, like I'm turned on. It's more like a yeah, like I'm overwhelmed by the reality of the power of being a rigger, because I've been doing this for almost 5 years, and I think I've gained a lot of recognition for it. And at this point, I start to realize like there's a very big responsibility in being playing that role of guiding people in a vulnerable and sexual space.
Totally.
And I take that very seriously. It's like there's a line that I have to be really careful about. Even when there's a yes from people, I have to be careful and assess, like, is this the right like situation to go farther with this person? Are they mentally ready for that? Am I ready to take on their emotions? Because it's very deep. It's not just a, like, it could be just a, how to say, like a sexy moment, but you could trigger such deep emotions in the person that they need your aftercare. And that's a very big thing in the world of BDSM, is like you can play very deeply with someone's emotions and psyche, but you can't just drop them and then walk away. I like to engage very intentionally with each person that I tie, ask them, you know, what their boundaries are before we tie. I like to talk to them, get to know where they're at, like even like what kind of relationship they're in at the moment. And then while we're tying, I'm always making eye contact, making sure they're okay. I'm touching their skin, because sometimes people have a panic attack from being like confined by the rope. They're consciously like, yeah, this is great. But then like there's a like instinctual feeling of this is not safe.
Yes.
And that sometimes people can like get like really wet skin, and then there's like a heat emanating off their skin, and I know, okay, I need to stop. So
yes, it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense if you invest a lot of time in protecting yourself, right? In which we're kind of taught in this society anyways, with all these masks that we're wearing and all these different roles that we are playing, right? That when it comes to the point where you actually have to open up and be vulnerable, you might be not ready for it at all, because you never practiced anything like it in your life.
Yeah, because Shibari is so aesthetic and it's become like a fashion trend now, there's a big influx of people who want to be tied for a photo shoot or a performance or something. It is hot and sexy and you look amazing, but your body can have a visceral reaction to losing complete control of your body, and I'm in control of when you get out or not.
When we met in Paris, we had never met in person. And I came to your apartment back then. And on my way there, I was like, this is so nuts. You know, like, we've never met. And I'm going to a stranger's house, really, in the end, to get tied up. And at one point, I have to trust you to not take advantage of me or that moment, right?
Yeah.
And for me, personally, that's kind of a turn on, that this reality is kind of there, you know? You know, if you would have been a different person and I wouldn't have felt the connection that we had, and I possibly couldn't have done it.
I think this aspect is an aspect I find challenging and that I enjoy, because the more experience I gain, the more I can understand very intuitively someone's limits. Mm. And then I think that's the beauty of like a relationship between Rigor and Muse, because you get to build that trust.
Let's walk through how you would maybe set up a session with somebody. What would be the conversations that happen beforehand? How do they look like? And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the first steps into tying somebody up.
I find it's very important to have a little conversation, whether it's by email or in person. And I just like to know ahead of time if there's any health issues that I should know about that might come up in the tying, and if there's any physical or psychological boundaries that I should stay away from.
Okay.
And then once I have idea of the boundaries of my partner, then I construct a scene for them where I start to tie them, and I get to look into how different positions and different sensations of the rope make them react. And based on their reaction, if it's a positive reaction, then I'm going to push that part a little bit further, make it a little more intense, a little bit more open or vulnerable. If it's a negative reaction, then I move away from that and try something a bit different. For example, if you have someone who's suspended and they find that overwhelming, then you can bring them down from the suspension and you can work on the floor and tie them in different positions on the floor.
Yeah.
Sometimes I notice that some people are very disturbed by their breathing restricted. Some people find that very erotic when they can feel the constraints of their body and their ribs pressing against like this sexy tightrope. But some people are like, wow, I can't breathe. I'm like, actually, you can. Just breathe to it. But it's true, like, just breathe into it. And when you breathe into it, it becomes that meditation, because then you're mindful of your body and you feel the rope and you start to get deep into the sensations of your body.
Everything that you are dealing with in your life will come up in these kind of situations, right? So if you have more difficulties letting go of control in your everyday life, I'm sure it will probably come up in like a shibari session, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody will tell you their boundaries, would that be like something like, hey, I can feel very constricted and like I can't breathe easily? Or is this more abstract, like my feet are off limits or something?
It's more along the lines of no rope along my neck.
Okay.
No blindfolds I want to see. No rope on my balls. It can happen, you know. In terms of suspension, a lot of people say don't invert me. For me, I find is the easiest. Especially if the rope is just like hanging from your hip. It's actually really easy because your hip is the most strongest part of your body. But I think that is just must feel very out of control to be totally upside down. So yeah. A lot of people say no inversions.
What would you recommend if somebody, let's say a couple, if somebody's listening who's partnered up or something, how could they get started?
I highly recommend that people work with a professional, because rope is inherently very dangerous. And even if you tie rope like very simply along the wrist and you tie it in the wrong way, you can cut off circulation. So okay. It's best to just do it with someone who knows what they're doing. Even if you look at a tutorial about the rope handling, what I mean about rope handling is the way that you hold the ropes in your hands to maintain the tension so that the rope is safe.
What are the greatest safety concerns in general with rope?
A beginner concern is what I said about the tension on the body. So mm-hmm. you don't cut off blood flow and you don't have nerve damage. So that's the first thing that I teach.
Yes. It's the only thing I've always been terrified of. I'm like, nerve damage, no nerve damage.
It's happened to me before and it can happen very easily.
Yeah, I went to one class before and I thought it was very interesting because in the beginning, when you're in the class, I feel like it feels pretty technical, right? You're just like, okay, I'm tying this knot.
Yeah, I'm just like, become like a little nerd.
I studied Shibari in Japan with a master named Hajime Kinoko, and I spent months just doing like sometimes the same knot in the same thing over and over. But I understood that he was so like stringent about safety, and yes. I really appreciate his approach because in the 5 years that I've been tying professionally, I've never given anyone rope damage or nerve damage. I mean, so yes, I think rope is incredible, central, sexual, amazing art form to practice with your partner. But I think that anyone who wants to try it should really show it the respect it deserves. You really should try to find your local rope jam. A rope jam is like a public place where people who like rope come together and they share skills. I think it's best to start like that before you start to really tie in a more sophisticated way.
Because you mentioned subspace, can you explain really quick what that is?
Subspace is like a mix of a chemical rush. It's like a body high, and it's also a psychological space of feeling very present in a submissive state. So yes. Especially when you have a suspension scene, your body reacts to being suspended with a rush of endorphins, and then also just letting go with your rigor makes you feel very comforted, hopefully if you have a good rigor, and safe, and under their guidance, under their dominance even.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, and that's the mental and the physical combination is what you would call subspace.
I mean, I've experienced it before, and it's really a wild ride. Because I think the kind of lay people idea of submission or being in a more submissive state, right? Or giving up control. I think people think it's like a place of weakness. But I really experienced it very much as like being taken care of and worshipped.
Yes.
Is there for you something like a dom space or a rigor space that you get into?
For me, I find it to be about being very intuitive about my partner. And being very empathetic about them. And I like that you used the word worship, because for me, yes, I am the leader in this scene. But when someone is suspended, they are completely under your control. And also it's something that's dangerous. So you are really caring for that person.
You wrote something on Instagram, I think, and you used the phrase function of rope placement. What did you mean by that?
I think in that post, I was talking about my way of teaching. Mm-hmm. The class was more about explaining the function of the harness, like why this rope is tied on this part and why the tension is this way. And you can later on modify the tie to fit the person rather than trying to force like a one size fits all on each body that you tie.
Yes, I love that. Also, is there certain emotional intentions or something? This is why I would place a rope here, because it would make that person feel this certain thing?
Oh, of course. There's different ways you can play with the rope on the body to create different emotions. Of course, the neck is one of the most vulnerable parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And there is a position where if the back is very arched and you have the neck outstretched, you create this very open space in the neck. And if you just glide a rope along the neck, it can create so much sensation and emotion of vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, I think even in the sense of, right, when people say the brain is the biggest sexual organ or whatever, and the more room you maybe even leave for somebody to fill in some blanks, you know, what does this mean to you when the rope goes up your neck? It can mean so many different things to people. But if you just force a meaning onto somebody, it's not going to be as exciting.
Yeah. Now, I learned this technique specifically from a teacher named Yagami in Japan. And he is a master at creating erotic scenes with rope. Mm-hmm. And he told me what really creates that erotic tension and tying is not doing something that's very obvious, like stimulating genitals or nipples or doing something very like brutal or like forceful. He likes to build a scene by creating suspense and having like a very deep understanding of someone's anatomy. So he's able to lock people's body into a position. He's tricking the body into that heightened, suspenseful, sexy state without actually inflicting any pain or anything dangerous on the body. And I think that was probably the most fascinating and sophisticated like approach that I've seen.
Well, I think that's so interesting. And I think we have talked about this when you came on the show before, about not necessarily needing to sexually stimulate, but people having waves of pleasure or some form of orgasm or fully of orgasm without actually being stimulated in a super sexual way. And I think that is so fascinating. If you're in a neurotic state, your body will experience different forms of pleasure anyways.
I mean, and personally, I find suspense and denial some of the most sexually arousing emotions. There was another technique that he was talking about where he said that it's good to create highs and lows in a scene. You know, like that the highs and lows is what keeps that tension going, but makes it super erotic. Than just, for example, if you're to tie and you use the same kind of tempo or the same touch, you need to create a story and you create a story with sensation, with emotion, you know, like with unpredictability.
That's exactly what I was thinking about when you were talking. It was like it is some kind of storytelling that's going on, right? Where you think about the intricate version of like taking somebody on this ride, right? Of emotion and sensation. You also, I think, have said, and I've heard it at this workshop too that I went to, that you can communicate through rope.
Yeah.
How would you explain that in your words?
Communication through rope is how you handle the rope, the way you touch a person, the quality of your touch, the tightness of the rope, the way it glides on the body. All of these things say something.
Yes.
There's a lot of nonverbal communication that's very beautiful in these kind of scenes. And I think the more you become educated about body language and nonverbal communication, the better your rope can be.
Oh, I love that. So really, in the end, then you would vary the touch and the rope and the way you slide it across the skin or something by what you want to communicate with it.
Yeah. I think also what your body is saying. Because a lot of teachers that I've worked with, they stress all the time that a rope is an extension of your body. So you're really tying with your body more than the rope.
Interesting. Okay.
So what I mean is like engaging your whole body is thinking, what are my eyes saying? If I look at my partner in the eyes or if I'm looking at a part of their body, what does my body say if I'm facing them straight on? Or if I'm behind them and they're suspenseful about what I'm going to do because they can't see me, what does it say when my body is pressed close against them or I'm pinning them underneath me with my knee or under my foot, which is very dominant and could even be considered a bit humiliating and objectifying if you want to communicate that feeling? Or what does it mean if I'm touching their face very gingerly or caressing their neck or this kind of things, pulling their hair in one direction while you tie another direction. And when you pull someone's hair, it's something very primal and it's very sexual. And they'll be focused on one part of their body, and then you can like glide this rope very gently on the other part of the body, and it just creates like this very in the moment mindfulness about how sexy and erotic and primal the moment is. So that's what I mean, like, and you graduate from you learning how to tie, that it's safe, which is a very important part, and it's a kind of unsexy part. But once you understand how to tie in a safe way, then you can start to think about how do I create a scene and how do I create emotions with my nonverbal communication.
How could people learn from you? Do you have any workshops coming up, or can people come to you for privates to learn?
Yes, I'm based in Paris, and I'm always available in Paris to give privates. I teach about floor work and suspension tying, and I am doing my next group workshop in London.
Awesome.
And I think I'm going to do a group workshop in Paris this month. So I think that'll be fun.
Do people come like as couples or single, or?
I'd say you usually come as a couple, so you have someone to tie. And I also have some models who can learn with someone if they don't have a partner to tie with.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you about this. Now I'm super excited. Maybe I'll have to come and take a workshop with you.
I would love that.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our episode, How to Seduce with Rope. I hope you enjoyed exploring the secrets of sexual intimacy and satisfaction with me. You can find our incredible guest, Marie Sauvage, in the show notes, and remember to visit our website, talesoflara.com, for more valuable resources and tips to enhance your sexual wellness journey. If you like today's show, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that will be amazing too. See you next Sunday. Until then, stay curious and keep exploring.